Good afternoon. Welcome to Senate Finance. Today is Wednesday, April 12, 2017. The time is 1:36 p.m. I'm Co-Chairman Anna McKinnon. With me this afternoon, Co-Chairman Hoffman.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair.
Vice Chairman Bishop.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair.
Senator Michicki.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair.
Senator Von Imhoff.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair.
Senator Olson.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair.
Senator Hughes.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair.
Welcome to Senate Finance, Senator Hughes.
Thank you.
On today's agenda, we have two items. SB 51 extends the Board of Veterinarian Examiners, and SB 83, a protection for vulnerable adults and long-term care. The first item before the committee will be SB 51. If I could direct senators to the file for SB 51. Is there anything else to come before the committee before we begin? Yesterday, we adopted a CS. We reviewed the audit and had a public hearing and closed the public hearing. The fiscal note, do we have, if I could invite Lacey Sanders from Ledge Finance and direct committee members' attention to fiscal note number one. Ms. Sanders, if you could go over the fiscal note for us.
Just one moment. May I grab one?
Brief at ease. We're back on the record, Ms. Sanders. Your name for the record.
For the record, my name is Lacey Sanders, legislative fiscal analyst for the Legislative Finance Division. I believe that there was some confusion about some information that Ledge Finance had provided earlier and in relationship to the fiscal note. The fiscal note that's in front of you guys for the extending the Board of Veterinary Examiners reflects approximately $3,600. The information that I had provided just provides additional information. The fiscal note only reflects board services and travel, and there are additional costs above those costs for the Board of Veterinary Examiners to the tune of approximately, in 2016, it was $138,000. So there are higher costs to the board, and what the department and Ledge Finance has discussed is that those costs would be continued even if the board were not continued. So they are two separate costs, but we just want to make sure that the committee has the information that there are higher costs. In addition, our office had provided a projection for the board if they were to continue with the same level of spending and revenues, and that projection did put forward into the board into a deficit. It was merely a projection. It wasn't actuals. And the recommendation that Ledge Finance had was that if the division could provide additional information on what their anticipated revenues were going to be for 2017, they could provide whether or not they would truly be in a deficit situation or not.
Are there questions on the fiscal note for Ms. Sanders? Lacey, do you think, based on the review of the fiscal note, that we have the actual costs? The department is saying that for this particular board, that there was an increase. If I'm recalling correctly, it came from 300 to 500. I'm looking at Ms. Chambers to see if I've got that number accurate. But there has been an increase for the licensees under this professional license. But I'm unsure whether we have all of the – I'm unsure what the department has quantified for expenses when you're giving us the expenditures for FY16 at $138,479. Mm-hmm. Is there a smaller number that the department is using this year, or is there a calendar and timing difference? Because they did assert yesterday that we might have been using a fiscal year versus they're using a calendar year because of the licensure requirements.
Through the chair, that would have to be a question for the department on how they're looking at it. The information that I am provided by the department, they have a called a professional licensing report to the legislature dated January 2017, is on a calendar year basis. Mm-hmm. They do run a biennium, so the majority of their revenue will be collected during this fiscal year in 2017. I can't speak to what the department is projecting for their expenditures in 2017. In previous conversations, they are closely monitoring each one of the boards.
Thank you. Other questions from committee members? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Sanders, how does this compare to other boards of comparable size and a comparable licensees, both for the services as well as the travel, and both for the fixed costs as well as the travel and services?
Through the chair,
yeah, that information.
Senator Olson, I can't answer comparable. I look at each individual board on a case-by-case basis because each board is individual and has their own set of licensees and their own set of requirements. So I don't have anything that I can compare to other equal ones. I apologize.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Sanders. If I can invite Sarah Chambers to the microphone. Good afternoon, Sarah. Welcome to Senate Finance. Ms. Chambers, if you could identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Sarah Chambers. I'm the Deputy Director of the Division of Corporations, Business, and Professional Licensing.
Ms. Chambers, can you give us the expenses that you're projecting out so that we can understand the deficit that the licensure is in right now or the licensees are in and how we expect to pull out of that?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm looking through to see what information I have at my fingertips. I know that we have increased for fiscal year 17 the licensing fee for veterinarians from $300 to $500. We don't anticipate, and we haven't historically seen anything that would be that would red flag us as an anomaly, anything different. This board is typically fairly conservative and would probably be comparable to other boards that are of the same size and also that have the same statutes, similar statutes and regulations. And I'd be happy to look that information up, though, if it pleases the committee.
Are there questions for Ms. Chambers? Senator Von Imhoff.
Thank you. So it's my understanding that boards adjust their fees to pay for their own expenses, and they set their own expenses based on their own needs that they feel is appropriate for that particular board, whether they meet in person, travel to one location, or what have you, and they adjust their fees accordingly.
Through the chair, Senator Von Imhoff, statute requires each licensing program to pay 100% of its own expenses. That's done with 43 licensing programs in our division, 21 of them having boards. That's all rolled up into our professional licensing component or fund source, which is all receipt supported. So there is a partnership between each board and the division in allocating expenses. For example, if 43 licensing programs are all competing for the same amount of expenditure authority, not funds, again, authority, then sometimes we have to come in and manage that and help them with things that they may want that may be an unnecessary expense or provide additional guidance on how to cut back in one area because there's a greater competition from another licensing program. Again, that's expenditure authority. Each board is siloed in the revenue that they bring in from their own profession. So, again, it is a partnership between both.
Senator Von Imhoff.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In the event that a board runs a deficit for a period of time and then needs to react and adjust their fees accordingly, what happens? How do you pay, or how does that board pay their expenses during that reaction time where they have to turn the ship?
Through the chair, Senator, that's an excellent question, and it's very interesting because our budgets, as you well know, are annual budgets, but licensing programs run on a biennial licensure cycle. So when we look at their year-over-year annual revenues and expenditures, almost every program is in a what we might call an annual deficit because they're simply not bringing in funds for that year. However, in statute, they're able to roll forward any surplus. So our goal is to, again, statutorily in partnership with the boards, identify a sweet spot of surplus that would carry them over through that year without being exorbitant to the point that people are wondering, why are you sitting on $1 million? So we're trying to help the boards move through that that low revenue year, which is for, again, that higher level professional licensing component purpose. Those expenses are, and I'm going to use air quotes very strongly here, covered by other licensing programs. All the revenue is siloed. Revenue sources do not mix. Veterinarians don't pay for doctors. Nurses don't pay for hairdressers. However, because all of that money and all of that expenditure authority is under one umbrella component, we're able to cover those expenses that way. And each program on a biennial cycle sort of has an ebb and a flow to cover everybody else's ebb and flow as far as authority is concerned.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Chambers. Senator Bishop, could you cover the fiscal note?
Thank you, Madam Chair. There is one previous fiscal note that still applies, Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development. The appropriation is corporations, businesses, and professional licensing. The allocation, corporations, business, and professional licensing. The OMB component number is 2360. The fiscal impact is $3,600 per year. The professional licensing programs within the Division of Corporations, Businesses, and Professional Licensing are funded by receipt-supported services, and that fund source is 1156 of DGF funds. Licensing fees for each occupation are set per AS08.01.065. So the total amount of revenue collected approximately equals the occupation's actual regulatory costs. And
thank you, Senator Bishop. Is there committee discussion on Senate Bill 51? Seeing and hearing none. Senator Von Imhoff, do you have any closing comments that you would like to present to the committee? Senator Bishop.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 51, version 30-LS0465-U from committee with the accompanying fiscal note and committee recommendations.
Is there objection? Seeing and hearing none, the Senate CS for Senate Bill number 51, finance-U, an act extending the termination date of the Board of Veterinarian Examiners and providing for an effective date, moves from committee. Brief at ease while we sign the paperwork.
We're back on the record. The next item before the committee is the Senate Bill 83, Hess version. This is an act relating to the protection of vulnerable adults and residents of long-term care facilities. If I could invite Teresa Holt, the long-term care ombudsman, as well as Jeff Jesse, to the microphone to introduce the bill. Welcome to Senate Finance.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Jeff Jesse. I'm the legislative liaison for the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority, and with me,
Teresa Holt, state long-term care ombudsman.
And Madam Chair, if I might take just a minute, I think most of you know that I've accepted a position as the Dean of the College of Health and the Vice Provost of Health Programs for the University of Alaska. And I've been appearing before this committee for nearly 30 years, 8 years as part of the settlement process of the trust, and then 22 years as the CEO and now legislative liaison. And I just wanted to thank all of you for your consideration and kindness that you've shown both to me and the trust. It's been a privilege and an honor to work with you all and your predecessors over the years. I know we're facing some really difficult times, and I have tremendous confidence, not only in this body, but in the process here in the legislature. Both of my kids hope to come back to Alaska, and I'm very positive about you making that possible for them. So thank you very much. And with that,
Mr. Jesse, you don't just get to say that, not have a response from us. Are there comments from committee members? Senator Bishop.
I would like to just dovetail on your comments and go back the other way with them from me. And I'm sure my colleagues here say the same thing. I will add one little caveat to that is that I think the Mental Health Trust has helped me see the way and the light on a PMOV model that works inside of your organization. And thank you for that, because you have proved year after year when you present a budget inside this committee that it does work. Thank you.
Senator Von Imhoff.
It has been a pleasure, Jeff, to work with you on wearing many hats. And you are always happy, always fun to talk with. When I was coming down here in Juneau, and I didn't know anybody in 2014, I knew you in the hallways, and you actually took me under your wing and showed me where the difference between, you know, the fourth floor and the fifth floor and the first floor and where the bathrooms are and all of that. And actually, I really appreciate that. And I actually remember that, sitting on the benches outside with you and you holding my hand and just saying, you're going to be okay. They're not going to bite.
Mr. Jesse, on behalf of Senate Finance, I'd like to thank you for your years of service in a variety of capacities, but specifically for your service at the Mental Health Trust in leading us into a more humane path, a safer path, just all of the different ideas that, in collaboration with your board of directors and the agencies that work with you, we really do appreciate all that you've provided the state. On a second note, as we send you off for the next step in your journey, I would just say that you're taking on an incredible role at the University of Alaska in health, and I would just put in my reservation now that there are many programs that are offered at the University of Alaska that do not always address the crisis intervention that folks find themselves in some of the professions that we provide education for at the University of Alaska. And I'm talking about domestic violence and sexual assault, suicide prevention, fetal alcohol syndrome, mental health issues that you're well aware of, alcoholism, some of the professions that will be under your purview for reaccreditation standards. Can affect those that are serving in both rural and urban communities. And I hope that you'll consider some of the crisis intervention that is out there to become eventually part of programs that can support classrooms, counselors, and wherever else that health will touch to, from my position, to more adequately prepare folks to go into their working environment and understand the unique challenges that some Alaskans face. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you for, it's with gratitude that I thank you publicly for your service to the state of Alaska. Senator Hughes.
Thank you, Jeff. I met you two-thirds of the way that of those 30 years, and so about 10 years ago, we were working together. You were, have been a stalwart champion of vulnerable populations. At that time, I was working to help underserved populations and was new to this world, and just as you did my colleague, and maybe I wasn't a little girl that you took me by the hand, but you did mentor me in many ways, and it's been a joy and a pleasure. You've done, and you've helped a lot of people in this state through your work, and yet you've been often very practical and sensible about it, and I appreciate that. So I wish you the best in the next step of your journey. It will be, again, exciting and a pleasure to work with you as on the matters that our Madam Chair mentioned, and working in this field that is one of the areas in our state that continues to be strong. And but we also have issues regarding health care in the state to address, and I know you'll work alongside with us on some of those matters. So good luck to you, Jeff.
Thank you, Senator.
Any other comments? With that, we have the CS for Senate Bill number 83, Hess in front of us, version D. Mr. Jesse, opening comments, and then if you're prepared to do a sectional walkthrough so that we know the structure of the bill.
Yes, Madam Chair.
Senator Machicki, I apologize.
Well, that's okay. I was waiting for Senator Olson. Looked like he was going to say something, but I'll make it brief, Madam Chair. I don't know about all this always nice and happy stuff. Mr. Jesse and I have worked together on some difficult legislation. We still are, and we've done a little bit of the good guy, bad guy, good cop, bad cop thing. And he's not always happy, but he's unhappy at the appropriate times. And he's been very effective. But you exemplify the reason I'm here, and that is to make Alaskans' lives better, especially those with the most challenges. And you're an amazing man, done amazing things for this state. And you will forever be my friend. And I will be texting you regularly as we work through some of these issues, just for some of the knowledge that's in that head of yours. But you're a good friend and a great man. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Well, on to the bill.
On to the bill.
Many people don't realize that the Office of the Long-Term Care Ombudsman is under the Trust Authority umbrella. That happened over 10 years ago when there was concern that the previous location of the office was in a department that also ran some of the long-term care facilities that the office was supposed to oversee and handle complaints in. And so it is under our purview. This bill, Senate Bill 83, was really prompted initially by some required changes at the federal level. However, these changes are actually good policy, even if the federal government wasn't requiring them. So I think it will improve the ability of the office, particularly in these challenging fiscal times, to be able to provide the protection for our seniors that it's charged to provide. And with that, I'll turn it over to Teresa to walk you through the bill.
Thank you. Senate Bill 83 will amend the provisions of Alaska Statute 4762 for the Office of the Long-Term Care Ombudsman, and Alaska Statute 4724 for the protection of vulnerable adults to ensure the alignment with the Older Americans Act and its implementing regulations. In 2016, the Older Americans Act was reauthorized and new regulations for the long-term care ombudsman were created. As a result, the Administration for Community Living reviewed all states to ensure compliance with these changes.
Ma'am, could you please put your name on the record for our secretaries, please? Thank you.
Senator Bush, sorry. Teresa Holt, State Long-Term Care Ombudsman.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Holt.
Through this review, there were two Alaska statutes that were identified as being out of alignment with the Older Americans Act and the new regulations. And as Jeff said, regardless of this federal oversight, we do feel like these are good changes for our program. Briefly, the bill would align state statutes with federal statutes and regulations to ensure the Office of the Long-Term Care Ombudsman only shares resident information with informed consent, to ensure the Office of the Long-Term Care Ombudsman can obtain records to investigate and make referrals when a resident is unable to provide informed consent. It adds new terms for resident and resident representative. Due to a conflict of interest, it removes the option for mandatory reporters to meet reporting requirements by submitting the report to the Office of the Long-Term Care Ombudsman. It clarifies a separation in the role of the Long-Term Care Ombudsman from that of the Department of Health and Social Services. And it clarifies that the Office of the Long-Term Care Ombudsman may serve individuals in long-term care who are under the age of 60. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Holt. Do we have a sectional analysis of the structure of the bill? Does the committee, is the overview enough, or would you like to go through the sectional? Senator Von Imhoff.
Yeah, I looked at the sectional, and a lot of it is just to update verbiage. It seems a pretty straightforward bill.
Ms. Holt, did this go through judiciary?
No, it did not.
Are there questions from committee members? Thank you for the rollout.
Thank you very much.
With that, I'd like to open the public hearing on Senate Bill Number 83, an act relating to the protection of vulnerable adults and residents of long-term care facilities. Is there anyone wishing to testify on the CS for Senate Bill Number 83, Hess? Anyone at all? Seeing and hearing none, the public hearing is closed. We do have others available should the committee have questions. Denise Dinello from the Alaska Commission on Aging is here, as well as Deb Etheridge, the Deputy Director, Division of Senior and Disability Services. Are there questions from committee members on the bill? Senator Bishop, would you like to cover the fiscal note?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Two previous zero fiscal notes apply. The number one is Department of Health and Social Services, Senior and Disabilities Services. The allocation is to Senior and Disabilities Services Administration. The OMB component is 2663. The second one is to the Department of Revenue. The appropriation is the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority. The allocation is the Long-Term Care Ombudsman Office, OMB component number 2749, Ombudsman.
Thank you, Senator Bishop. Are there questions on the fiscal notes? Any discussion? Amendments are due by noon tomorrow. Is there anything else to come before the committee? On tomorrow's agenda, this bill may be up in the morning, as well as HB 137, the State Council on Arts Public Corporations. Since it's a companion bill and we heard the previous version, there isn't the notice requirements that would normally hold us. We're hearing it under bills previously heard. With that, we're adjourned.